different. I mean, just look at us. If you just look around and you look at each of us, we all so different. I'm tall, short, plump or skinny or whatever we are. Each of us is different. And I'm often confronted with the fact that none of us really knows what another person has gone through or endured. I don't know what last year was to you. I might have heard some things, but I don't really know. And you don't know what last year was to me. The triumphs and disasters, the fears and the joys, the eroding of faith, the undermining of trust, the unjust criticism perhaps endured, the valleys gone through, and the mountains climbed. But God knows. God knew every step of the way, exactly what you were going through, what you are going through right at this moment. He sees through closed doors. You know, sometimes people go through things behind closed doors. The front door of the house is closed. And what happens in that house? The words spoken, nobody knows about. But God hears. He hears each whimper. He hears each longing sigh. He hears the outbursts of joy, the gasp of relief when a situation is saved. There has not been one step taken that God hasn't watched over you. He's seen it all, and He's heard it all. And I'm so longing that He who knows all will minister to each one of us in this meeting with tender love and compassion, fragile vessels in the Master's hands. 2 Corinthians 4:7-9, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. For the love of God constraineth us, verse 14, He died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for us and rose again. For the which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The key phrase, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God knows how bruised, how battered, how chipped and cracked you are because of the onslaughts of the enemy. The buffeting of Satan, the knocking down from other vessels. And I believe that in this morning, God wants to reach out in tenderness to every one of us today, where we are, in what state we are, to restore us, to equip us, to empower us, and above everything else, to make us more reliant on Him, realizing in a new way how much we need God, but also how much we have in God. God wants to pick up the fragments, as it were, the broken vessel, and restore it in His loving hands. Dear God, I thank Thee that no step was not observed by Thee. Thou knowest every stony part, the valleys dark to me, the burdens that I carry, the prayers, the groans, each cry, the times I thought to give up and cried, oh, let me die. Dear Lord, sometimes I question Thy dealings, all not clear, for Satan seemed to triumph, my thoughts crippled by fear. At other times, victorious, the tempter seemed to flee, I triumphed in the battles, in all exalting Thee. What joy there was, what laughter, what triumph on my way, as souls sought Thee to save them, my night was turned to day. Dear God, as I look back today, I thank Thee from my soul that Thou dost know just where I am, what needs to be made whole. Now, we all know that an earthen vessel is a very common vessel. Not the kind of vessel that you'd expect to hold treasure. After all, if we had an alabaster vessel, or if we had a marble, you get those beautiful ones, or a gold one, a silver one, even a copper vessel, they seem much more suitable to hold treasure. But the Lord Jesus glories in the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, the base things of the world to confound the things that are despised, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Let us forget the exteriors today, the paintings on the vessel, the adornments, the world's wisdom and acclaim, the man-made additions and adverts on the vessel. God desires, what does He want? A mere earthen vessel for His use. The only important thing is what's inside, the contents, the treasure. The treasure isn't the outside, the treasure is the inside. God delights in an ordinary setting for His treasure. And we remember with wonder how the Lord Jesus, when God sent the Lord Jesus to be born, did He send Him to a palace? He sent Him to a manger. That's how God delights to take those common things and put His glory in it, just as He did with us and wants to do with us. I think God did delight to take a humble manger stall to place His treasure in it. God's Son, given for all. The woman of Samaria sought out for Christ to fill with living water that she would do reveal His will. The woman with the devils, Mary called Magdalene, became a holy vessel, a clay pot, cleansed and clean. Paul, who was learned, said that he was the least of men, because mere earthly wisdom falsely acclaimed Ian then. We all are earthen vessels, no credit of our own, called to show forth His glory, reveal Christ, Him alone. Now, the moment God places His hand on our life, we no longer are just an earthen vessel, but a vessel that contains treasure. And we don't hug this treasure to ourselves, but we're commissioned by the King to hold out the treasure for the world to see. The whole aim of God's indwelling us, the treasure inside of us, as grandmothers, as mothers, as aunts, as friends, as siblings, as sisters, as children, is that we're there for the Master's use. That's what He puts the treasure in us. For you, the highest calling, to hold the treasure show, the King in all His glory, to all men here below, you may be bruised and broken as you sit here today. But God cries out, dear vessel, I know how frail the clay. I'm here to clean and bind up the scratches, cracks, each dent. With love and understanding, my balm from heaven sent. Therefore, take courage. I hold my outstretched hands to you, so saying, I know, dear struggler, that battering you've been through. Sometimes we feel we don't mean anything to anybody in the world. There are many times in my life when I felt, well, what do I mean, other people accomplish so many things. You know, why wasn't I more outspoken? Why didn't I have more confidence? All those things. And for each of us, the devil comes and he whispers in our ear, you don't mean anything to anybody. Now, there was a young worker in our mission. He was not a dynamic speaker, but he was a wonderful worker, person to person. He used to visit in houses and soul after soul came to the Lord. But when he was stood in the pulpit, excuse me, he used to stammer and stutter and lose his place. He really didn't speak well or eloquently or whatever you want to call it. And another worker came to him and he said, you know what? You're useless in the pulpit. You are in the wrong place. I'm sure God hasn't really called you to the ministry. And what this young person did, he felt so worthless that he left the mission. But we lost a very good worker whose life, whose words, whose impact had led countless souls to the Lord Jesus. Just because he listened to another person and the devil saying he was worthless. Has anyone ever told you you're worthless? Perhaps your children have belittled you to such a degree that you feel hopeless as a mother. Or perhaps you've compared yourself to others. I've done it many times. And the Lord has helped me and stopped me doing it. Because I compare myself and think, oh, why didn't they have that personality? Or why, you know, different things. And the Lord said, Jenny, be grateful for the way I made you. If you're going to be comparing yourself to others, then you're ungrateful for the way I made you. And I got to the place where I say, Lord, thank you for myself just as I am, and just use every bit there is to use. Perhaps as a young person, you're not bold as others to witness, and you're shy, not talkative, and you feel worthless because you just can't do things. Perhaps God just wants to use your smile. Just be available to him. He wants to use what there is to use. He wants to shine through you. The outside isn't important. It's to let him shine through you. Perhaps something happened in your childhood that makes you feel defiled, worthless. Take courage. God cleanses the vessel inside out to put his treasure inside of you. Don't you think God won't cleanse that vessel through and through for him to be inside of it? There's so many. We go from place to place. I don't think there's a place where you don't know of somebody that has been hurt in this way. Don't lose courage. God cleanses through and through. And he said, let me shine through. Forget about it. I can make you clean. I've also seen young people with lots of talent, lots of promise, but they were not earthen vessels. It was as if they were made of alabaster and gold. And you know, strangely enough, the outside was so ornamented with all their talents. It was as if they were painted beautifully, but the outward was so dense that you couldn't see the inside. And strangely enough, those young people often did not last in their witness. There was a lady I remember from my childhood. She was quaint, short, homely, round-faced. And she didn't always say the right things. I mean, she would be so simple in the way she spoke to people. She'd say, well, if you want God to fill your life, and she'd take a glass of water and she'd just pour it out. She said, you have to be empty of yourself. And pour, out came the water. And then she said, and then God comes in. She spoke very simply. But you know, God used her mightily. I think there are hundreds and hundreds of people in heaven today because of this very simple earthly vessel that was available for God to use. We need to empty ourselves of ourselves and just say, let God shine through. God doesn't need marvelous talent. Talents are wonderful. He needs our availability. He needs our willingness so that he can fill us, so that he can shine through us for his use. Christ in us, that's the treasure within the human clay. For we become the temple. God lives through every day. I'm very, very grateful that shy and awkward me can trust Christ who is inside me to shine forth. Only he. The more I come to realize how frail and weak I am, the more I rejoice daily God's purposes for man. We call to let God's treasure shine through us on life's way, that people will be seeing Christ in us every day. Now, in the Biblical Archaeology website, we read that literal treasure was often hidden in clay jars, real clay jars. And so that's the background to Paul's use of the picture of a clay jar or earthen vessel with treasure inside. And it emphasizes the frailty of the Christian and the preciousness of the gold, Christ, within. Now, in the Cyprus National Museum, it displays clay pots with coins spilling from their mouths. So the clay pots are on the side in the museum, and you just see these coins spilling forth out of the mouth. Archaeologists said there were thousands of such clay pots in the Greco-Roman world, and some had 50 coins in them, some had 50,000 coins in them. Why were the coins placed in an earthen vessel? Because it was the most unlikely place. It was so ordinary, so commonplace. There were continual wars in those days, and there was political instability, so the common pots seemed the safest place to put the treasure. The very ordinariness of the pot guaranteed a higher degree of safety. We have nothing to glory in of ourselves. We glory in the Lord. He is the treasure. In Matthew 13:44, we read of a man that found a hoard of treasure in a field, sold all that he had to purchase that treasure. And Paul uses the same word, the original word for the treasure in the earthen vessels. Everybody understood the picture from Paul's writing. The pot wasn't the treasure. The treasure was what the pot held. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Corinthians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let us never forget the wonder of the treasure that is inside of us, Christ himself, the worth of this treasure. Let us guard it. Let us protect it. Let us hold it fast and present it in such a way that it doesn't distract people to ourselves, but rather point them to Christ. That all may marvel with us at the indescribable miracle of this treasure in the earthen vessel. It matters not what I am. The treasure is inside. For I am but the temple wherein Christ doth abide. I must be very careful to not point folks to me. Rather, let Christ, him only, shine forth for all to see. Now, I think I've spoken before of the Fabergé eggs, and I often like to refer to them. They were mostly manufactured under Peter Carl Fabergé in 1885 to 1970, and there are 50 that were very famous from Alexander III and Nicholas II's time. But one of the most fascinating was what Tsar Alexander III gave to his wife, Theodorovna, in 1885, it's a difficult word. It looked exactly like a simple, simple enameled egg. Very unpretentious. And Princess Maria, when she got this egg, was surprised to receive something that looked just like an ordinary hen's egg. The gold was processed in such a way that it just looked like an eggshell. But it wasn't ordinary inside. Inside was a yolk of pure gold. Gold. And when he opened the yolk, there was a little golden chicken inside the yolk. And if you opened the golden chicken with a hinge, there was an imperial crown, a miniature inside of that. And on the crown, there was a chain with a little ruby, a real ruby. You see it? Such an ordinary Fabergé egg. But inside it, all that treasure. And the one requirement was the surprise for each of these eggs. And to me, it's a wonderful picture of the treasure of Christ in us. The world looks at a dedicated Christian and says, there's nothing out of the ordinary about them as they look at the outside. But the Christian is attacked, accused verbally, wrongfully. And suddenly the world is amazed at the Christ-like response. And they say, oh, it's not an ordinary egg after all. There's gold inside. Sickness comes to a dedicated Christian. Financial trials, hardship. As it comes to the unsaved, it seems such an ordinary Fabergé egg. And then the world gasps in surprise at his or her response to the trials. Though he slay me, Job 13:15, yet will I trust him? And they cry out, surely this is no ordinary egg. There is gold inside. When my father died in 2015 and was told the cancer would spread 2 weeks to live, his gentle resting in the will of God the fragrance of God's love. And it was just filled that room, the quiet reliance on God to cope with the last steps, the longing to be used by God to the last minute was solid gold in the earthen vessel. But it almost seemed as if the vessel's shell got thinner and thinner, and the gold inside shone through all the brighter and brighter. Last year, my dear mother went to be with the Lord after the tour. It was soon after the tour. She had intense suffering. And as death crept nearer and nearer with stealthy, painful tread, her quiet reliance on God, her acceptance of what He allowed and all the pain and discomfort with it, while struggling not to choke to death, was a testimony to all who entered her room or even walked down the passage. It was solid gold in that earthen vessel, with the imperial crown and with the ruby. So, the unsearchable riches of Christ in us. It gives us strength to brave the storms of life. It gives us the peace that passeth understanding. Sufficient grace to endure and to go through what God allows on our path. Troubled on every side, not distressed. Perplexed, not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, because God never forsakes us, even if others forsake us. Husbands can forsake us, but God won't forsake us. Cast down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4:8. Many an earthen vessel, battered by wind and storm, cracked and chipped by onslaughts, imperfect thus in form. But inside that frail vessel is gold, though tried by fire. That weak and fragile vessel doth all with hope inspire. For gentleness and patience and joy in blinding rain, there's peace within the trials, a smile despite the pain. Reflecting the Lord Jesus in all I say and am is when the fragile vessel fulfills God's perfect plan. Perhaps you feel very vulnerable today. The earthen vessel has been bashed by other vessels in close proximity. You jolted in transit. You knocked over by circumstances. You haven't been preserved, appreciated, treasured. Instead, you've been disregarded. Disdain, you feel buried and forgotten. Your heart-rending and heartbreaking cry is, I feel so vulnerable today. Finances not there, accounts not paid. Things happen to children. Things happen with children. Promises that haven't been kept. Misunderstandings that have crept in. Calamities, tragedies, health issues. And you've cried out, help! And no help came. You're broken. You're brittle. You're smashed as you sit there. And there's even a whisper in your ear from Satan, and it says, surely God doesn't care. I mean, after all, God sees all I'm going through. Why didn't He rescue me out of this situation? Spurgeon must have also felt like this at times. Why do I say that? Spurgeon said, we must not think when our prayers are unanswered, that they are unheard or unheeded. As we continue in sorrow, do not think God does not love you. Well, perhaps it would be nice if we were made of sterner stuff. You know, I sometimes wish I could be wrapped up in cotton wool. I don't know if you feel like that. You know, alabaster and marble can stand hard knocks. Things dropped on top of them. They don't dent. They don't crumble as the earthen vessels do if they fall to the ground. They stay intact. I seem so easily marked and crumbled under the onslaughts. To be wrapped in cotton wool and placed in a safe place, untouched by hardships in any kind, of any kind, and that everything runs smoothly around me, no stress, no jostling, no knocks, no fear of landing on the ground, would be paradise. dear earthen vessels, have we forgotten for a moment even the unsaved are not wrapped up in cotton wool? God wants to show in us and through us that the same battering that they go through, that the unsaved faith need not destroy the vessel, but rather if Christ is in the vessel, let the treasure shine forth more and more. That is why we are in the thick of it. Amid people also facing the storms of life, the trials, the fears, the hardships, they are without God, without hope, without this priceless treasure inside of them, without the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of failure, without eternal life, without communion and fellowship with God. They are empty inside. And we call to show them that God wants to fill them with a treasure. His indwelling, His grace, His likeness shown through us in our actions, in our reactions, in word and deed, will show them that they can weather the same storms because Christ is sufficient if He indwells them. And that is why we go through many of the things that we do go through. God takes an earthen vessel to fill it with His grace, to endure jostling, conflict, right in the marketplace. We have to guard not only the treasure, but its reflection through us. We have to be that vessel that holds the message out to a world in darkness, light in darkness, hope in the midst of despair, joy despite sorrow, strength despite weakness, endurance instead of giving up. Now, my father was always very practical, and he always said to me when he was alive, he said, Jenny, it doesn't help giving advice without practically telling people how to implement it in your life. And the question is, how do we guard the treasure? How do we reflect the treasure? And the best way to explain it is the lady who was given a book, and when she got the book, she was very bored by the book, and so she skimmed it, put it on the shelf, and said, oh, well, that's not going to take all my time. Later she meets a young man, falls in love with him, and she finds out he's the author of the book. So suddenly she takes the book down. Suddenly it's not boring anymore. She reads, she hears his voice, she can hear his accent. It's almost as if he's speaking to her, and she can identify with what has been written. And so in the same way, we have a book that as we read it, the character of the Lord Jesus becomes part of our character. And that is how we guard the treasure. Do we prize, hold the treasure to such a degree that others seek Christ through us? As we read His words, as we meditate on them, as we make time to study, God writes it on the table of our hearts. And suddenly His character shines through us as the word becomes a reality in our lives. Now, I know with little children, it's sometimes difficult. When I had the little ones and I had very lively, I've never met children quite as lively as mine were. And then, you know, you can't read chapters. So sometimes I used to just take 3 verses and, you know, take those verses and think about them. And as I was doing all the chores of the house or seeing people, whatever, I kept referring to those and they became part of me. So those that have lots of time can read 20 chapters. Those that have a little bit of a time, you have a few verses perhaps, but you meditate on it. You think about it. You let it become part of your soul. Suddenly it's seen in the way we speak, in the way we react, our endurance, our courage, our empathy and understanding. We have compassion because Christ had compassion on the fallen woman. Suddenly we're not judgmental anymore. But we rather say, come, let me lift you up. Come and sin no more. That is why we are so patient and long-suffering. That is why we go the extra mile. That is why we cry, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. As the Lord Jesus said, as Stephen said in the Bible, do you treasure God's word? Do you go to it as your reference and your source of guidance? By that, we will be guarding the treasure inside of us. When God's word read and treasured, it's written on my heart. Christ thus revealed, reflected, his image I impart. The more I read, the more it will influence what I do. Give courage to stay steadfast, whatever I pass through. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes we would like to turn the world upside down and do great things for God. We sort of want to be that earnest on the pedestal that everybody recognizes and looks up to. And then God comes to us and he says, my precious child, my earthen vessel, I want you to portray my treasure to the children in the home, to your husband, to the teenager, to the siblings. It's just as important as that urn that's standing on the pedestal. They are looking for the gleam of gold inside. Are you reflecting me in the place where I have placed you? But Lord, I feel so worthless in the setting, so unappreciated, no dramatic results. My grandmother, and I often talk about her, prayed for 40 years, reflected Christ for 40 years before her husband acknowledged the treasure and claimed it as his own. Do you know, even washing dishes, even the way we dress, even serving meals, even interacting with our siblings, we're either holding out the treasure for others to see, or we're blocking or obscuring the treasure from view. What are we doing with the treasure inside of us? In the Russian newspaper, they spoke of a fatal crash. Three teenagers rode a moped with no lights on. The driver of the moped died, a passenger died, a 17-year-old died. But the greatest tragedy was that the lights were not on. Is the treasure shining through you? Is the light on? Like with my father, the outside became so see-through. All you could see was the treasure, the gleam of gold. There are other lives that crash on the highway of life, and they could be our children. They could be our brothers or our sisters, precious earthen vessels, little children, teenagers, older folk, neighbors and friends. Your neighbors and friends, they all want to see the treasure inside. Does it shine through? When they approach, does it spill forth as the gold spilled forth in the Cyprus Museum? Or has bitterness, anger, dissatisfaction, jealousy, envy and other stoppers blocked the treasure from view? They crash upon the highway of life. Was it because of you? Sometimes I did not realize that in the everyday, I either draw folk to God or push them right away. I did not realize daily in little things I do, I either point them to Christ or harden hearts anew. Even in trials and hardship, failure need not be there. Rather, triumph with God's grace to pass that test with care. What matters if I'm battered, the vessel chipped and worn? If I have held out daily and lasted through the storm? Don't despise where God placed you, the mundane things you do, but rather as the setting for his light to shine through. Dear earthen vessels, I can guarantee you as a fragile earthen vessel that we will be battered and jostled in life on our way to our heavenly setting. But we are called to be faithful. We are called to hold out the treasure at any cost to ourselves, at any price. And that knowledge acts as a spur to encourage us that the treasure will be seen by the world. We are not important. It's just as long as the treasure gets out. Now, there was a dispatch rider, and I'm going to close this, in World War I, who took a message through a curtain of fire. No one dared to go through that firing squad. It was impossible. No one, they said, could endure that battery of rifle fire. But this young soldier reached the other side. And the colonel, when he got the message, said, "Young soldier, how did you get there? How on earth did you get the message through? How did you survive the fire, the bullets? How?" And his only answer was, "Sir, the message was marked as important." Perhaps your life is difficult. Perhaps you're surrounded by fire. Perhaps it's impossible to hold on to the message you say. It's impossible to reflect Christ in your situation at all anymore. Others make life so difficult. But the message is marked urgent. And the Lord Jesus wants us to reflect it and get it through the fire and the flames. Let us give ourselves afresh to God today, saying, "Lord, I'm willing for the journey that the vessel has to take. Whatever it takes, I'm going to see that the message gets through." With this comforting knowledge, "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." It's only a fragile vessel, not strong, robust at all, that the Master in compassion has taken from life's stall. He has filled it with precious treasure to hold out to the world. Inside his love and mercy is to mankind unfurled. The road that the vessel travels in the thoroughfare of life, it may be violent, rocky, uphill, and marked with conflict, strife. But the vessel must move forward to fulfill the Master's plan, to show his priceless treasure to lost, despairing man. Thus the vessel is surrendered and set aside daily just for the Master's service, his use exclusively. Amen.